أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
We were discussing about those practical tips and our conversation was going on regarding the very important point about helping out our fellow mu'min brothers in their hajat. And we discussed this narration, which is actually from Abdullah ibn Abbas, that I saw Imam al-Mujtaba alayhi salam in i'tikaf at Kaaba. As you all know, we discussed in the fiqh classes here some of those ahkam of i'tikaf. When you do the i'tikaf, you are supposed to stay in the masjid al-jami', any masjid where Salatul Jum'ah has been recited with shara'it, not the place where Salatul Jum'ah can be recited without the shara'it of the sharia, a place where the Salatul Jum'ah is recited with the shara'it. And basically you cannot get out of the masjid for those 3 days. In the first 2 days you can break the i'tikaf. If you want to go out, you can go out, but then there will be no i'tikaf remaining any longer. And it's permissible to break. That's not haram. But on the third day, it's not even permissible to break your i'tikaf, and you have to stay in the masjid and continue. So Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam was in the Masjid al-Haram, the most sacred mosque of Kaaba, where it has the highest sawab to pray. He was there for i'tikaf, and during his i'tikaf he was doing the tawaf, where this person came and asked him for some money, and Imam alayhi salam said, "Wa rabba hadha al-bayt ma asbahu 'indi shay'un," and I swear to the Lord of this house that I don't have anything. That means this morning I have nothing, in other words. So he said, "Well, that's okay, but if you can just go and buy some time for me from this person, I borrowed loan from someone, and if you can go along with me and buy some time." So Ibn Abbas says that I saw Imam alayhi salam leaving his tawaf and going along with this mu'min, and I said that, "Are you not doing i'tikaf?" And he said, "Yes, what I can, sami'tu abi, I heard my father يقول سمعت رسول الله. He was saying that he heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم saying that من قضى أخاه المؤمن حاجة, whoever fulfills the hajat of his mu'min brother, كان كمن عبد الله تسعة آلاف سنة. He is just like the person who worshipped Allah for 9,000 years. I remember I told you what Muhaddis Nuri, who was the teacher of Shaheed Mutahhari Rahmatullah Alayh, has said that ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is the biggest mustahab in the Sharia. You don't find anything bigger than that. Except one thing that I found in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, which has more sawab than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And that one single thing is fulfilling the hajat of a mu'min. So now you find another hadith where Imam Hassan is saying that he heard from his father and he heard from the messenger saying that whoever fulfills the hajat of a mu'min, kana kaman abadallaha tis'ata alafi sana, he's just like the person who worshipped Allah for 9,000 years, sa'iman naharuhu wa qa'iman layluhu. That means those 9,000 years he have been such that he had fasting throughout the days and he's up in the night throughout those 9,000 years doing worship of Allah. That kind of 9,000 years where every day you have been fasting and every night you were up doing worship of Allah. So you cannot imagine, basically you cannot imagine the sawab of helping one mu'min brother, not for gaining any material gain from him, but for the sake of his iman. So we have no other intention when we help except respect towards his iman on the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. So also we find that Ibrahim At-Taymi was doing the tawaf of Kaaba, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had said to him, أخبرك يا إبراهيم ما لك في طوافك هذا, shall I not inform you what thawab, what you have for this tawaf of yours? He said yes. And then Imam alayhi salam said, من جاء إلى هذا البيت عارفا بحقه فطاف به أسبوعا وصلى ركعتين في مقام إبراهيم, whoever comes to this house and performs the tawaf, you know, 7 rotations, in other words 2 rakats of prayers at Maqam Ibrahim, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ عَشْرَةَ آلَافٍ حَسَنَةً, Allah writes down for him 10,000 good deeds, وَرَفَعَ لَهُ عَشْرَةَ آلَافٍ دَرَجَةً, and Allah raises for him 10,000 levels. And then Imam alayhi salam said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِخَيْرٍ مِّن ذَلِكَ, shall I inform, this is the tawaf of, basically one tawaf of Kaaba. But now Imam alayhi salam said, shall I inform you something better than that? He said, Naam ju'iltu fidak, may I be sacrificed in you? Yes. And Imam alayhi salam said, Man qada akhahu al-mu'min hajatan kana kaman tafa tawafan hatta adda ashran. So whoever fulfills his mu'min brother's hajat is just like the one who did tawaf 10 times, in other words. And وَقَالَ أَيُّمَا مُؤْمِنٌ, and then there is the opposite side, the negative side of it is also mentioned. وَأَيُّمَا مُؤْمِنٌ سَأَلَ أَخُوهُ الْمُؤْمِنْ حَاجَةً وَهُوَ يَقْدَرُ عَلَى قَضَائِهَا وَلَمْ يَقْضِهَا لَهُ. If there is a mu'min, another mu'min brother seeks hajat from you, but you reject it, you don't fulfill, in other words. صَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي قَبْرِهِ شَجَاعًا يَنْهَشْ أَصَابِعَهُ. This guy will face, a snake in his qabr who is going to bite his fingers. So basically, in Islam, it is extremely condemned to reject something which you are able to perform. Yeah, if you aren't able to perform, that's a different story, you know, if you have an uzr and justifiable excuse. And also, we find in Uddatu Da'i of Ayatullah Sayyid Ibn Fahd Al-Hilli Rahmatullah Alayh, one of our greatest urafa of all times, he has mentioned this hadith in Uddatu Da'i that in This is Hadithun Qudsi, that means a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's a conversation that took place between Allah and Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. Inna al-abda min ibadi ya'tini bil hasanati fa ubihuhu jannati. One of my servants brings one hasana, one good deed to me, and I provide my jannat to him, in other words. فَقَالَ دَعُودِ يَا رَبِّ مُمَا تِلْكَ الْحَسَنَةِ. And Prophet Dawood said, what is that good deed? And قَالَ يُدْخِلُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ سُرُورًا وَلَوْ بِتَمْرَةٍ. That means he provides happiness to my mu'min brother, although with a date. فَقَالَ دَعُودِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ حَقًّا عَلَىٰ مَنْ عَرِفَكَ أَنْ لَا يَقْطَعْ رَجَاءَهُ مِنْكَ. That means, someone who has recognized you, has your ma'rifat, you know, he deserves not to cut off his hope from you. So Allah is even ready to forgive everything else, in other words, and because of one good deed, he can give the jannah to a mu'min. So basically helping a mu'min brother for the sake of his iman, not for the sake of any other benefit, for the sake of his iman, is a very important thing, you know. Allah is emphasizing in various ways that our mu'min society must be ready to help out each other. And if that essence of helping out is installed in the society, our imams would not have been killed. Isn't that right? When mu'mins are not even ready to help out their fellow mu'min brothers, how would they help the imam? That doesn't add up. So imams have been believing in the walayat of the imam, this mu'min, because he believes in the walayat of the imams, has so much respect. So you can imagine how much sawab a person can get if he helps the imam himself for the hajat that imam has from us. Imam has several hajat. Imam wants us to do the nusrat of Islam. This is a hajat he has. He wants us to support Islam. Isn't that right? He wants us to support Tawheed. He wants us to oppose the shirk. He wants us to oppose the taghuts. He wants us to oppose, all those who are supporting shirk and zulm on the face of earth. This is the hajat Imam Mahdi alayhi salam has from us. Not for his own sake, for the sake of our own benefit, so that we can succeed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't stand in need of nothing from us. They didn't stand in need of Allah only. So we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال الله تبارك وتعالى. Prophet said that Allah said, لِيَأَذَنَ بِحَرْبٍ مِنِّي مَنْ آذَى عَبْدِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. So someone who tortures my mu'min servant, basically this guy is waging a war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words. And وَلْيَأْمَنْ مِنْ غَضَبِي مَنْ أَكْرَمَ عَبْدِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. And someone who respects my mu'min servant, he is secure from my azab, from my ghazab, from my wrath. وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي خَلْقِي فِي الْأَرْضِ بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٌ وَاحِدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even if there is one mu'min surviving on the planet earth between the east and the west, there's only one mu'min only, مَعَ إِمَامٍ عَادِلٍ. Obviously, with the Adil Imam, obviously Allah is not going to leave this universe without a leader. That's impossible with the Sunnah of Allah. So, if the لَمْ يَبْقَى عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا إِثْنَانِ لَكَانَ الْإِمَامُ أَحَدَهُمَا. Isn't that right? If there's no one surviving on earth except two humans, one of the two has to be the Imam. So no two can remain without, إِذَا خَرَجَ سَلَاسَةٌ فَلْيُؤَمِّرُوا أَحَدَهُمْ. If three of you go out for a travel, make one of yourselves to be the imam. Islam has been emphasizing on imamat even among our own selves. Even if you are going for a 1-hour trip, even if you are going for a 5-hour, 5 days trip, You know, it's impossible for Allah to leave two humans without the Imam and this universe without the leader. When Allah is asking us to make a leader, even if we are going out for a travel, three of us are going out, one has to be chosen as the Imam. One has to be made as the Imam among ourselves. And we listen. So basically, if there is only one mu'min surviving on the earth, and which is sometimes I really feel sad for those of the mu'mins who still fail to understand, you know, the concept of the walayat of faqih in the time of ghaybat. When you find that, you know, when it is asked from Ayatullah al-Uzma Sistani, hafizahullah, is it wajib on us to support the waliyul faqih? I don't follow Ayatullah Khamenei in my taqleed. And he replies back that it's wajib on the maraji to follow him. Now you can see when our maraji have been, you know, showing their support. Very, very clear wordedly. You cannot expect a better, you know, what else can you expect? Now when this is the phenomena and Islam of Ahlul Bayt, Islam of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, Islam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does not allow us to support a kafir or a munafiq or a murtad or a zindiq or a mulhid or a nasibi or a tahut to rule over us. Isn't it right? So what else, what other option do you have on the table? Shall I mean, okay, let's not believe. Okay, so let's do what then? Let's start supporting a kafir or a munafiq or a nasibi? What other option do you have on the table? And you cannot expect the earth without a leader, isn't that right? If somebody has to rule. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Prophet said that if there is no one remaining in my creatures on earth between east and the west, in the west, except one mu'min along with one adil imam, لَسْتَغْنَيْتُ بِعِبَادَتِهِمَا عَنْ جَمِيعِ مَا خَلَقْتُ. I am mustaghni بِنِيَاز. I don't stand in need of nothing from all that I created. I don't need nothing from what I created except these two. If there's one mu'min and one imam, adil imam there, and that's enough. Nothing else I need from my creatures. So this is what Allah holds importance for that. One imam and one person who supports his walayat. That's it. Yeah, there are people who are trying to support an Islam minus walayat. There are Muslims who are trying to support an Islam without the walayat. And this has been already made clear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayatul ghadir, in the ayatul tabligh, how we call it. You know, وَيَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. Allah is commanding the messenger to announce the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam on the occasion of Ghadir. And if you don't, وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. If you don't, that means if you don't do this this task that is assigned from Allah, in other words, which is i'lan of the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, then your whole risalat goes down the drain. You did nothing of risalat. The risalat of messengership of Rasulullah is the entire Islam. Isn't it right? We learned the whole religion Islam from Rasulullah. So the whole Islam goes down the drain without the walayat. Islam minus walayat is equal to zero. But there are still some Shias who are trying to promote an Islam without the walayat, and they think they can run away with it. So we find that لَسْتَغْنَيْتُ بِعِبَادَتِهِمَا, and I'm مُسْتَغْنِي with that their ibadat. One mu'min and one imam, their ibadat is enough, Allah says. These two people, their ibadat is enough. Leave all the people aside. Leave everything else aside, in other words. لَسْتَغْنَيْتُ بِعِبَادَتِهِمَا عَنْ جَمِيعِ مَا خَلَقْتُ فِي أَرْضِي, on my earth. All that I created on earth, I am مُسْتَغْنِي from them. وَلَقَامَتْ سَبْعُ أَرَضِينَ وَسَبْعُ سَمَوَاتٍ بِهِمَا. and the seven earths and seven heavens will stand up straight because of them. That means the whole universe will continue to survive because of these two. Universe is surviving because of Al-Insan Al-Kamil. There is at least one Kamil human member of Ahlul Bayt, Al-Insan Al-Kamil, the perfect human who is the hadaf of the creation of the universe. And because he survives, everything is there in its place because of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So we find that وَلَجَعَلْتُ لَهُمَا مِنْ إِيمَانِهِمَا أُنْسًا, and I'm going to provide to those two, that means one Adil Imam and one Mu'min, those two I'm going to provide them from their Iman, so that they won't stand la yahtajani ila unsi siwahu. They don't need nothing else other than, you know, nothing else for becoming familiar and ma'noos and having uns. So there is no wahshat, there is no scare, there is nothing they would be afraid of. Those two with their ibadat are going to suffice. So this is a little bit about the hajat of a mu'min and how important it is. And the next point which is mentioned by our great Urafa is about qillatul kalam wa qillatul ta'am wa qillatul manam. That means we emphasize on eating less and talking less and sleeping less. In the hadith of Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, he says that لِكُلِّم مِنَ الْكَلَامِ وَالسُّكُوتِ afat. For each of the two, in other words, the kalam, talking, and sukut, silence. For each of the two, there are turmoils that for each of those two. So they are afat. فَإِذَا أَسْلَمَ مِنَ الْآفَاتِ, if kalam and sukut are secure from the afat, فَالْكَلَامُ أَفْضَلُ, then speaking is superior than staying silent. Well, let's remember, silence is superior in Islam than speaking. If we are a regular mu'min, in the regular situation, in the regular situations of life, Islam considers silence to be afdal and superior than kalam, than speaking, if we are a regular mu'min in the regular situations of life. Yeah, unless if we reach the level of awliyaullah, if we become one of the beloved servants of Allah, the job of awliyaullah is to not to stay silent and to speak up. If they won't speak, who else is supposed to speak in their presence? So for awliyaullah, the duty of Islam is exactly the opposite. They are supposed to speak up and never stay silent. So sukut initially for a regular mu'min in regular situations of life is afdal than speaking if he thinks about the umurullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, affairs related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So but now if kalam and sukut both are secure from the afat, then kalam is afdal. If the afat, see, they are afat. It's very hard for a regular mu'min to protect himself from the afat of kalam. We already discussed for about a year and a half the sins of the tongue on the Thursdays. For those of you who were present, like about 6 years ago, we used to talk on that subject. Isn't it right? 46 sins that a human performs through the tongue only. Ma'asi, which are related to the lisan. 46. So we already discussed that. The afat of talking are a lot. And we discussed that, we are gone past that. So now, if a person is on the level that he can protect himself from the afat and problems of talking, then obviously if he can protect, even keep away from the harms and the problems of talk, then obviously talking is better than staying silent, because he is the one who can control himself. For those who can control themselves from the sins of talking, talking is better for them because they can control themselves. So فَالْكَلَامُ أَفْضَلُ, so then kalam would be superior. لأن الله بعث الأنبياء. Imam Sajjad عليه السلام says because Allah sent the prophets بالكلام. لأن الله بعث الأنبياء بالكلام ولا بالسكوت. Allah sent the prophets to talk, not to stay silent. That means they were mab'uth, they were sent to speak. Of course they are awliyaullah. I mean, that's not part of the hadith. I'm just trying to explain it to you. They are the awliyaullah. If the anbiya and the awsiya and the great beloved servants of Allah don't speak, then who else would? Allah sent the prophets with kalam, la bis-sukut, not to stay silent. Waswara istahaqqat al-jannah bis-sukut. You cannot become mustahaq and deserving of paradise. Jannat is not earned through sukut and silence, in other words. Walastawjabat walayatullah bis-sukut. You cannot achieve the walayat of Allah through silence. So this is all if you can secure yourself from the afat of talking. That's already Imam Sajjad has mentioned in the beginning. If you can secure yourself from the afat of talking, then talking is superior than silence. Allah sent the prophets to speak, that means not to stay silent, and a jannat is earned because of through talking, and walayat of Allah is earned, is achieved through talking, not through the silence. Walayat means supremacy of Allah. A mu'min should work under the umbrella of Allah's governance. That means Allah should be ruling over his qalb. His qalb is ruled over by Allah and his commandments. This is the walayat of Allah. So he is working under tawheed and supremacy of God. وَلَا نَتْوَقِّيَتْ النَّارِ بِالسُّكُوتِ. Fire cannot be avoided with silence. If you are silent, you cannot avoid the hellfire. So you have to speak to avoid the hellfire as well. وَنَعْتَ الرَّسُولُ الْأَعْظَمُ. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Holy Prophet described, in other words, mentioned the greatest messenger mentioned, السَّاكِتُ عَنِ الْحَقِّ وَنَعْتَ الرَّسُولَ الْأَعْظَمُ السَّاكِتَ عَنِ الْحَقِّ بِالشَّيْطَانِ الْأَخْرَسِ. And the greatest messenger has described the person who stays sakit and silent over haq and truth to be the dumb shaitan. So this is the hadith from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, which signifies the importance of positive talk and timely talking. Untimely talk has to be completely avoided. I remember in Ayatullah al-Uzma, Shaykh Hassan Zada Amuli Hafizahullah was saying, he mentioned in his book that basically one day I talked a lot, and then when I slept, we are talking about this Ayatullah al-Uzma Hassan Zada Amuli is one of the living greatest Urafa of today, of these days. And he is considered to be Khaja Nasiruddin At-Tusi of this time, because he is Jami' al-Ulum. He is the one who combines all the knowledges. He is a faqih, and he is a kalami, mutakallim, and he is a usuli, and he is a filsuf, he is a philosopher, he is a arif, and he has the knowledge of the contemporary sciences. He speaks several languages, and he astronomy and ilm al-jafar and so on. So he, long list of knowledges. He is one of the most unique assets of the Hausa and the planet Earth. I don't know anybody similar to him who is surviving. So this greatest arif of ours, he was saying in his lecture, in his book, that once I talked a lot, and when I slept, I found in my dream the angels came with a needle and a thread, and they started to sew my lips with the needle and the thread. So, which I learned that basically I talked a lot. Obviously, you can understand that these Urafa are not the ones who will talk anything haram. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. They are great personalities. They don't do harams. Isn't that right? But this is a very good example for sinners like me. I'm talking about myself. People like us, to remember that when we talk, we need to be having a controlled talk. There's a beautiful statement from another Urafa of ours, Ayatullah Hussain Quli Al-Hamadani, Rahmatullah Alayh, very great Arif of ours, where he had mentioned in his writing that Alayka bi qillatil kalam wa bi qillatil ta'am wa qillatil manam wa tabdeeriha bi zikrillahil malikil alam. So that means you should be such to have less talk and less food and less sleep, and convert it with the zikr of Allah al-Malik al-Allam. That means instead of doing any of those things, like eating up in full, filling up your stomach to the full, or to just go to sleep, or just start talking, you know, recklessly, it's better that you busy yourself, engage yourself in the zikr of Allah. In the riwayat narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, we find Zahara Iblis li Yahya ibn Zakariya alayhi salam. Iblis appeared in front of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam, and he had alayhi ma'aliq. He had ma'aliq, and Hazrat Yahya asked him, "What are these ma'aliq?" And he replied, "Hadhihi shahawat allati asabtuha min ibn Adam." That means, in other words, these are the shahawat, different kinds of lusts. That's how Shaitan fools the son of Adam, the human beings. Every human can be deceived with, you know, every human has different, except those who have taharat of the qalb. Every person can be deceived through different ways by Shaitan. There's no one standard thing for everybody. It doesn't work like this. No two humans are alike. Even the two identical brothers and sisters are not alike. So one thing simply doesn't work for all. Shaitan is cunning. So he adopts various ways for various people, depending on their age, depending on their family, depending of their background, depending on what type of food they eat, what things they like, what things they dislike. Things that are they like, they can easily be fooled towards those of the things which are liked by them. Things that they don't care about, it's very hard to fool a person and deceive him through things that he doesn't like. Isn't that right? Because he doesn't want them. He has no craving for those things. Things that you crave, you have to be particular about those things that you like, not to get attached. So here, these shahawat are the things with which Shaitan. So Yahya said to Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, said to Iblis that fahal li minha shay'un. That means, is there anything from those shahawat, the shahawat that you are carrying? In other words, is there anything that is for me? See, it's very important that we don't apply the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam on others without applying on our own selves. That's a very important thing. We need to first apply on our own selves. That's how it works. That's how it should work. There is a riwayat from Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, rahmatullah alayh. He was a very great sahabi of Rasulullah. Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, he says, كَانَ النَّاسُ يَسْأَلْ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَأَنَا أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِ. People used to ask from the Holy Prophet about khair. Whereas when I had the opportunity to ask questions, I used to ask from Rasulullah about the shar. Tell me those things that I need to avoid in my life. So it's very important that we learn what applies on me so we can avoid it. So Yahya ibn Zakariya is asking Shaitan, is there any, that means any of those shahawat is there for me as well? For me? And he said, Shaitan replied, رُبَّمَا شَبِعْتَ فَسَقَّلَتْكَ عَنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالذِّكْرِ. maybe you eat in full. Vedanta did not say that you do eat in full. Maybe. Maybe you eat in full, and that makes it hard for you to pray and do the zikr. So remember, I mentioned to you the statement of my teacher once that my teacher had said, if you eat in full, then the door of Manaviyat gets shut. So basically, that's why the Orofa, they never eat in full, and they always leave the hunger still remaining there. So Yahya alayhi salam, qala Yahya, lillahi alayya an la amla'a batni min ta'amin abada. For the sake of Allah, it is incumbent upon me not to fill up my stomach ever. After learning that from Shaitan, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam said that. And then Iblis, when he heard that statement, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that Iblis said, Lillahi alayya, I make my covenant, I make my commitment, in other words, towards Allah, that I am not going to do nasihat to any Muslim ever. Because he doesn't want any Muslim to obey Allah. He is the biggest enemy of Allah and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. The biggest enemy of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is Shaitan. ثُمَّ قَالَ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Ya Hafs, to this Ravi, and this guy who is this person who is basically talking to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Ya Hafs, لِلَّهِ عَلَى Ja'far. That means, in other words, that's the obligation of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam himself, Ja'far, and he himself. It's لِلَّهِ عَلَى Ja'far wa Ali Ja'far. It's the obligation of Imam alayhi salam and his family. Allah yamla'u butunahum min ta'amin abada, not to fill up their stomachs with food ever. That's why I always say in my speeches that Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam never ate food full even once in their life. That's impossible. Impossible you can find in the history that Prophet or Ahlul Bayt ever ate food full. They made themselves full in the food. It's impossible to happen. Never happened even once in their lives. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى جَعْفَرْ وَآلِ جَعْفَرْ. And it's the obligation of Imam Ja'far Sadiq al-Islam and his family, أَنْ لَا يَعْمَلُوا لِلدُّنْيَا أَبَدًا, not to work for this dunya ever. So this is a little bit was there for what we find about the Kalam. And we find that apart from that, the Kalam thing, it is very important, the next point, which is related to Tilawat of Quran. Now, Tilawat of Quran is they emphasize 50 ayats, which is actually mentioned in the hadith, to recite 50 ayats of Quran. And also it is mentioned it is very important that when we read the Quran, we read the Quran in a way which is basically addressing our own selves. Addressing our own selves means basically that, first of all, we understand the meaning of Quran. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying something which is addressed to a mu'min person, we should take it seriously as if it's applying on our own selves, because we are also mu'mins. So basically, when we were discussing the tajweed lessons, I mentioned to you the three types of qira'at And I mentioned to you that there's a qiraat which is of the slow pace, and there's a qiraat with a high speed of recitation, and there's a qiraat with the middle speed of recitation. And the middle speed of recitation, that sort of qiraat, if you do it with tadabbur, with understanding of the meanings, this is what we call in Arabic as tartil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in the Holy Quran, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. So we are supposed to recite Quran as tartil, which in the tafsir, our scholars have mentioned that tartil of Quran means you read Quran with the medium level of pace of recitation, neither very slow nor very fast, medium pace of recitation, plus you do tadabbur, you think. So you think about the meanings of Quran, ayat of Quran. If you don't understand the Arabic, the Fusha language, then you can basically read the translation. And basically when you read the translation, that's how we benefit and we apply it. And then especially our great scholars have been emphasizing on Surah Yaseen. After the Fajr prayers, no day shall pass by in the life of a mu'min that he does not recite Surah Yaseen. After Fajr, Yaseen should be recited. This is a very suitable time. It's always suitable to read Quran anytime, but especially our scholars have mentioned that after the Fajr prayers, we read the Surah Yaseen. And also it is a lot of thawab to read Surah Al-Waqi'ah before sleeping. So if you before sleeping, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us with this tawfiq to practice these teachings. And also there's a lot of sawab in reading the Al-Musabbihat. Al-Musabbihat are those five surahs of Quran which start with Sabbaha or Yusabbihu. There are five surahs of Quran which we call Al-Musabbihatul Khams, which start with Sabbaha or Yusabbihu. So it is also mustahab, you know, that before sleeping every night, it is mustahab we recite the Musabbihat before we go to sleep. Don't include Sabbihisma Rabbikal A'la in those five. The Sabbih is the tense of command. We are not including that. We are including Sabbaha and Yusabbihu, which are the past and the Mulare, you know. These are two different tenses. So we are, those the five Musabbihat, it's mustahab to be recited before sleeping. And also it is mustahab it is asked by our scholars to basically read al muawwizatain, which means al muawwizatain means qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq and qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. These two surahs are called Al-Mu'awwizatayn. It is, scholars say, asked to recite these surahs in the Salatul Shafa and Salatul Witr, in the Salatul Layl, Namaz al-Shab, in both of those Salatul Shafa and Salatul Witr, if we read Mu'awwizatayn, that's very good. Also memorizing the Quran, before I move forward to the next point, inshallah, memorizing the Quran is another very important thing. Memorizing the Quran helps a person to basically read anytime, isn't that right? Despite, along with the fact that everything related to Quran has sawab, writing Quran is sawab, reading Quran is sawab, listening to somebody else's recitation is sawab, thinking about Quran is sawab, looking at the ibarat of Quran, the ayat is sawab, everything, all these things is sawab. So memorizing also is sawab. So if we memorize any surah, we get the sawab, and we will be able to read it anytime we want. That is going to help us in basically reading it. And also it is helpful in the sense that when you memorize a surah, it helps you to read and to pay importance to its meanings and to practice. This is going to make sure that when we practice the surah, then this surah will be resurrected with us on the Day of Judgment. Wherever this mu'min goes, if he has used to recite the entire Quran and practice the entire noor of Quran, then the entire noor of Quran will go with him, just exactly like the noor of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt is basically, you know, is the magnitude of the noor. You find is this Quran is Quran on Samit, silent Quran, and they are Quran on Natiq. They have practiced the entire Quran. So basically, if somebody manages to read one surah and its meanings and practices its meanings, that noor of that surah will be resurrected on him on the Day of Judgment along with him, and is going to go wherever this mu'min goes. So this noor is never going to be separated from you. So any surah of Quran which you memorize, any surah of Quran that you basically learn and practice is your partner forever. So this is the emphasis and ta'keed on the Musabbihat al-Khams, the five surahs which start with Sabbaha Yusabbihu, is when Prophet used to read every day, you know, before sleeping, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And when someone asked him about why does he read these surahs before going to sleep, Prophet replied that each of those surahs has one ayat which is basically in other words at the level of 1000 ayats of Quran. So each of those surah has one ayat in it which is on the level of 1000 ayat of Quran. So you can remember, you can understand the importance of the nuraniyat that a person can basically learn and gain. That's what we learn in the light of this hadith. So, and also if a person memorizes a surah and later on he forgets, this is another scenario as we are discussing the Quran and its recitation as one of the tips for the tazkiyatun nafs. So if a person memorizes a surah and later on he forgets because he fails to continue to recite, and this also happens to some people, they used to recite certain surahs in their life and some stages of their life, later on they stop reading that surah. On the Day of Judgment, they will see the noor of that surah given to another mu'min, and this person is going to ask, well, why can't you come to me? And see, on the Day of Judgment, each person is muhtaj towards noor, because that's the currency they buy, how much noor you have in your qalb. So anything of noor, we would love to get it. That's our darajat in the paradise. So this mu'min will wish to get that noor of surah, and that noor of surah will reply back to him, I am the noor of that, I am that surah that you used to recite, but then you later on quit me. You failed to continue. So basically, now the surah cannot be part of you. In other words, so basically, this is not appropriate, I would say, for a mu'min. I won't say it's a haram, but it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate for a mu'min to start reciting a surah of Quran and does not continue. May Allah give all of us the tawfiq to practice that. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. We will continue, inshallah, the next remaining points in the next Thursday, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر المسلمين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's recite the ayat al-kareema 5 times again for our mu'mineen in Bahrain. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ 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 اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. Let's read the Ziyarat of Asyura, Ziyarat of Imam Hussein.